Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 123 shopping days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means. That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Mr. Bradford.
Hey. I got nothing.
Brad is speechless tonight. And the star of such hit films as Short Circuit 2 and Blank Man, it's Johnny Five, the human robot.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, John. How you been?
Been worse.
Wow. It's been a minute since we've chatted, so I guess absolutely nothing has happened in the last month.
Let's see. It's closer to Christmas. Can we cancel Christmas? Can we just like, what if we just like will it into existence? We just start saying, hey, everybody, it's like 488 days until Christmas.
Oh, just start lying to everybody? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
I mean, if you put it that way, it sounds bad.
Oh, man. Remember in the whole clusterfuck that was last year or between November and January, there was like a whole thing where people were complaining that people are canceling Christmas. Do you guys remember that?
I mean, in the context of like COVID, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was the thing. It was about as dumb as everything else going on at the time. So it wasn't particularly remarkable, but looking back on it, that was
hey guys,
thing.
COVID's back. Y'all missed it. We got more of it.
Everything
it's
old
back
is
in
new
pog
again.
Form.
It's back in pog form. Oh boy.
But no, and I feel like us, you know, broke brain woke liberals have been doing our real bang up job trying to cancel Christmas completely. But one of these days, we're just going to make it happen. I mean, that's what this podcast is all about, right?
It's our white whale. And then we'll finally be free and we never have to do this podcast again.
Yeah, eventually I'm going to manage to sneak past the elf guards into the Santa's workshop and just flip the big switch that says from Christmas from on to off. And nobody's going to do it. Nobody can do anything about that. Game over, man.
Well, now we're just making toys for no reason.
I mean, I'll buy them.
Sell them on the Black Christmas market. You know, who's gonna stop you? It's the Purge.
Lego Council. Send me a Lego Seinfeld. I don't want to have to like buy off the website and have to wait for it to get shipped.
Toys for adults.
Toys for adults. Gentle friends, have you made any Legos lately?
No. I mean,
I bought a set like 2 days ago. We haven't put it together yet.
What is it?
Karen and I have been collecting for several years now all of the $20-ish range Minecraft ones.
Oh yeah,
like the ones that are like the bee farm and the chicken coop and the pig house, things like that.
That's fun.
It's a house shaped like a pig, and it blows up.
What's not to like?
What's not to like?
What's not to like?
For my birthday last month, Nikki got me a Lego car set. It's, let's see, what is it? The Fiat 500. Brad, I think I showed this to you. It's not exactly the Lupin the Third car, but it's very close.
Yes. Yeah.
I think I just remarked one time, like, hey, that looks kind of neat. And then magically here it shows up. I'm going to have a good weekend one of these days.
All right, Brad, what about you?
What's the last one that I put together?
Yeah.
Chinese New Year one, that would have been February, I guess.
I'll allow it.
Later, the Friends one that came out like a couple months ago. I watched
it.
That's cool.
You got to get her the second Friends one. Or
no,
do you have
both
of them now?
She got the second Friends one. That was the one
she
did.
Do you have both now?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Wait, there are two Friends ones?
Yeah, there's the apartment.
Yeah, there's the Central Perk and the apartments.
We're missing the important part, which is there's a Seinfeld apartment one, and Jerry has a mullet, and it comes with Newman, and I need to have it.
Yeah.
And the only reason I don't have it is because I have to order on the website, and I'm just fucking impatient. I want to, like, throw money at somebody and then have it immediately.
I mean, there's two Friends ones, so there has to be two Seinfeld. Like, they should have made the friggin' Monk's Cafe one.
I mean,
like, set, right?
If it makes enough money, they'll probably do it, if it sells well enough, because that's probably why they made the second Friends one.
Yeah, realistically. Or honestly, I would
three times as much.
Would probably rather have like Kramer's Merv Griffin show set as a Lego set. That would be pretty cool.
That would be
especially
excellent.
If it comes with like the hawk that chases George out of the studio.
I want Kramer's incomprehensible apartment with the Kenny Rogers roaster sight out the window that you actually can plug into the wall and it lights up.
I was thinking of the Kenny Rogers roaster sign as well.
Hey guys, we have a show to do. Can we? Should we switch gears and talk about a Christmas movie?
No, you can't.
Well, actually, no, we can't talk about a Christmas movie. We have holiday food and beverage to discuss. Well,
first, we have a can check because Johnny Five said that it's going to bother us when we do can check. So we have to do can and or bottle check.
Oh, hang on. Can check? I'm ready.
All right. Well, let's go first, and then we'll let Johnny Five spoil the mood with his very, very bad alcoholic beverage.
Oh, this is a bad idea. I love it so much.
What are you working with there, Joe?
This is just a regular old Leinenkugel summer shandy. It's one of my go-to summer beers.
You are a rock.
I am a creature of habit.
You are very reliable. It's good. I like it.
Just call me Old Faithful.
Yes.
Bradford, what you working with?
Reliable. I have a Looking Glass IPA from Star Hill. It's okay.
I feel like you've mentioned this one recently as well.
I might have had this one already. This is from a box from a couple months ago that I just had a couple hangers-ons.
Mm.
You know how it is.
All right, J-Man, what you got for us?
So I saw at the gas station...
Oh, no.
Bang, like the energy drink, Mix Hard Seltzer.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, it's the energy drink where the entire point of it is it has 300 milligrams of caffeine, except it has no caffeine because you can't do Four Loko no more.
Yeah, I was about to say... Did they bring Four Loko back as well?
And then the flavor is called Purple Kittles.
Oh, God. I feel myself getting a stomach ache just talking about it.
Yeah, it tastes like some grape Skittles that are a little alcoholic.
Barf.
And I fucking love it.
Oh, jeez. Why would you do this to yourself?
Why wouldn't you just get a bottle of Mad Dog at this point? Like, ugh.
Because then I have to pour the Skittles in myself. Which I can do, because I have Skittles as well.
It's like a really trashy version of just putting peanuts in Coca-Cola. But even trashier than that, in fact.
Have we ever talked about Four Loko on this show? I feel like we have.
I don't believe so. I think Four Loko predates this podcast.
I'm very sad that I missed good Four Loko.
You missed good Four Loko?
Yeah.
You really
back when
missed.
It was just like Red Bull with like...
Oh,
just LSD mixed in it.
I mean, it was so bad. It was so right. Like, it had one purpose, and it did that very well. But at what cost?
Yeah. Hey, kids. I'm going to let you know a little secret out there, all you boys and girls in the radio land.
There used to be a drink called Four Loko.
No. The secret is Red Bull and Jägermeister.
Yeah.
It's a secret to nobody, my friend.
If I remember correctly, that Red Bull and Jägermeister just tastes like gummy bears.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but I saw something else, too, that just also seemed like a terrible idea. Do you remember those fucking roulette Doritos?
No.
It was like a bag of Doritos, of nacho cheese Doritos, except 10% of them were like the spicy nacho.
Yeah.
And then the only reason they got into the news is because a bunch of stories got released of kids, like, burning their fucking mouths eating the hot chips and calling it the Doritos challenge or whatever, and it's like that's literally the point of the chips. I'm pretty sure, Frito-Lay, you put the story out to make kids feel transgressive for buying Doritos,
but how hot could they be? Because let me tell you, hot chips are very disappointing in their level of heat. I've never had a chip that's like too much to handle.
Yeah, like my biggest complaint about Takis is how fucking messy they are. Like the hot is the good amount of hot.
Yeah, the hot is a good amount of, it's a decent amount of hot, but the salt is way too much salt, and I feel like, I feel like a mummy after eating, like, five of them.
Yeah, like, eating those blue Takis afterwards, you feel like you just robbed a bank or something. But, okay, so, John, have you had this drink yet?
Oh, yeah, no, I've been drinking it.
Oh, you've been drinking it the whole time? Okay.
Yeah, to be honest, it tastes more than anything else like an actual like Bang energy drink.
Okay.
And the grape ones are okay from that. I prefer Rain to Bang. if you're gonna get those stupid ass things. Or the Crash Bandicoot one.
I prefer Ermac to Rain, but that's just me personally.
I have no... You two may as well be speaking Latin to one another right now. Ermac?
Ermac and Rain, it is a Mortal Kombat reference.
Oh, okay. I assumed Rain was a flavor, but I thought you were talking about a flavor, and that shows you how much I know about Brad's Mortal Kombat.
I prefer Ermac to Rain, also Bradford Delinda Est. So let's just move on.
All right. So the disappointing thing with Halloween candy, because it's now August, therefore, you know, Halloween candy is out. You know, that's how the song goes, right? August 17th, August 17th.
This is August 1st. This is August 1st.
August
yes.
1st. August 1st.
So the disappointing thing about Halloween candy is it's just shaped like a bat or a ghost or something. And mm-hmm. there's no like Halloween flavors. I mean, they're trying to do the pumpkin thing, but like, I don't think you can do pumpkin Skittles. I'm not.
The only good like Halloween branded candy is like the pumpkin shaped Reese's cups. That's it.
Yeah, and they're just Reese's cups. They're just in a different shape.
Yeah,
and they're on cardboard instead of in the wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
But I have it's Skittles and it has the Grim Reaper on it and it says Shriekers, and apparently it's just Doritos Roulette but with Skittles.
Oh, is it the zombie Skittles?
But is it
says some are so sour they will make you shriek.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say. Okay. I assume they weren't going with the capsaicin route. It has to be
well,
like.
Do y'all remember
right?
the zombie Skittles from a year or two ago?
What's that?
Where it was like a gray bag of Skittles, and it was like called zombie Skittles, and it was kind of like that mystery, selection where some of the Skittles tasted perfectly fine, but the other ones literally tasted like rotting flesh.
What? Mm. They just yes. really taste bad.
Yeah, just absolute like rancid like meat.
What?
Yes.
This was a real thing. Product that existed?
Yeah.
Did you taste one? Does it really taste like bad meat?
Is this like an MKUltra psyop? Are you a Fed, Joe?
No, I swear to God this was a real thing.
All right, I have to look this up. But like I don't know, man. That's crazy.
Zombie Skittles are officially coming back for Halloween with rotten candy mixed in from last year. Oh, gross.
So it's just last year's candy mixed back in. That's why it's rotten.
Yeah, that was from last year. So this year it's Shriekers, which I'm trying to decide how can they disguise which ones are sour? Because like they don't have like the sour, like, you know how like sour candy has like, it just has all the sugar on the outside of it. Like gummy worms, you know?
Yeah.
So, let's find out.
So just imbibe some of those. But I'll tell you right now, the best thing about the zombie Skittles was it came in like a giant bag of little fun size bags for you to give out as Halloween treat, like trick or treat treats. And I have to imagine just hundreds of children being terrorized by this zombie, gross, rancid Skittle flavor. It makes my black little heart sing. I love that this concept so much. Jonathan, what you got for us?
I don't know if I've hit a sour one yet or not. Yeah, I have. The first one was sour. Okay, because this one's not sour.
Are we talking like a Warhead kind of sour or what?
Closer to like Shock Tarts, maybe.
Okay. So not too bad.
I don't know, maybe there are some fucking Warheads hiding here. Maybe I'm just being psyoped. Maybe Skittles is a fed.
Maybe his tongue has already been murdered and he can't tell the difference anyway.
Yes.
Well, anyway, while Jonathan is noshing on those, Brad, do you want to start talking about our movie selection for this week?
Not particularly, but I will. I'm still reeling from zombie Skittles. Just anyhow.
Is the Monster Mash cereal out yet?
I have not been able to find it. I want to say Target has it because Target has all of the good stuff. So I'll have to check Target soon.
Are we going for a new PB on how long it takes for us to get to the actual movie? Because I'm down. No.
Well, I want that fucking Monster Mash cereal because like I always get Frankenberry, Booberry, and Count Chocula and mix the fuckers together. And now they just have a box that's just that plus Yummy Mummy and Fruit Brute.
Oh, they're actually bringing those two back?
Yeah, it's all five in the box because for like the
hell yes
50 years of Monster cereals. Hey, General Mills, just so you can fucking put out Monster Mash in like March. I'll fucking buy it. I don't care.
But if you bought it in March, it wouldn't be special anymore.
Yeah,
that. It would be delicious after I ate it.
If we talk about Christmas movies all year round for 7 years, it won't be special anymore.
It really isn't.
Right, we should quit. Good night, everybody.
Hey, how about that movie?
All right, so we watched. I'm not even sure the title of this movie because there's like five different titles, two different titles.
Yeah, we got baited, switched.
So what is it? 12 Christmas wishes for my dog, right?
No, it is 12 wishes of Christmas.
But wasn't there a title that had the dog?
But yes. The DVD literally says 12 Christmas wishes for my dog.
There. Yes. Thank you. I'm not crazy.
The cover has a picture of a dog wearing a Santa hat looking very mischievous. And it says, look who's been naughty and nice.
Hold on. I want to back up. Let's like roll back a little bit. Brad not being crazy. That could have nothing to do with this.
Okay.
Okay.
So this was originally when it was released on TV, which this is a fucking Lifetime movie. It has to be, or some bullshit like that.
This was released on
TV channels.
On ION Television, which
one of those
I think,
fake channels.
Yeah. Used to be PAX TV, which definitely started out as a Christian TV network, and I'm sure still is.
But then the reason we found out about it is because we saw an ad for this, a trailer for this, on Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever. Thanks, Drew.
Yeah, so we have been literally sitting on this one for 5 years.
And the reason we noticed it is because on the DVD version, it is called 12 Christmas Wishes for My Dog. And the dog is making what some people will know as the awesome face and others will know as the epic face, but the dog is fucking doing it.
Yeah, 100%.
This is hell. This is what hell is, really.
And we haven't even started.
No, like we're already being gaslit and we haven't even started yet.
And some people you've like heard of in ways, shapes, and forms are in this. Fred Willard's in this damn thing.
He is. And not just like not like a one off. He's in it.
No. Yeah. Like Fred Willard's in it and Michael Gross, who is like from Tremors and Family Ties. Like, yeah, a lot of people are in old stuff too. Like a lot of people from Beverly Hills Now 2.0 as well. Like Andrea Zuckerman's in it.
Like the main character is the fourth or fifth top billed actress from Clueless. Like this is a pretty big cast for a movie like this.
And a lot of these people are just in these movies, like Lisa Donovan, who you were just talking about, Amber from Clueless. She's been the dog who saved Christmas, the dog who saved Christmas Vacation, the dog who saved the holidays, the dog who saved Easter, the dog who saved summer. It's a whole series.
Please tell me the dog who saved Christmas Vacation is not an unofficial Christmas Vacation sequel.
No, it is in fact the sequel to Dog Who Saved Christmas. This is one of those Mario Lopez Dean Cain type things. I'll just say that.
Okay, so it's like a Sharknado situation. Okay.
Yeah. Oh God, the cast of the Dog Who Saved Christmas: Mario Lopez, Dean Cain, Paris Hilton, Gary Valentine, Lisa Donovan, Casper Van Dien. Man, I mean. Get that money, I guess.
God, like,
and fucking David O'Donnell, who is the love interest, was in that as well.
Yeah, like a couple of these people have just made their living doing these like TV level Christmas movies.
Yeah,
and
I
you
mean,
know what? Get paid, man. I don't care about that. But
here's the rabbit hole. So the two writers of this were Richard Nolfo and Michael Cimenera. They played Michael and Richard, the two executives who get fired at the start.
Right.
They are also the writers of The Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation. They are just like mercenary dog script movies that also do absolute trash, which is what this, like, it's like with the last thing where it was this dude just did absolute, like, pure, like, cheap titillation garbage and then did, like, schmaltzy Christmas nonsense. Like, why do those two genres go together like this? Like,
because they make money.
Yeah, because it's the two boxes you can check to make money without concerning yourself with quality.
Yeah, Michael Pfeiffer, who's the director of The Dog Who Saved Christmas. Like, I'm going to look at just a selection of his filmography or of him being producer. We have My Stepfather's Secret, Anniversary Nightmare, Evil Intent, Defiant, Deviant Love, sorry, 12 Pups of Christmas.
One of
oh, no.
Sinister Savior, like My Daughter's Psycho Friend.
What is the difference? Do you know?
The director of this film, Peter Sullivan. John, did you literally just say this, or am I repeating you?
What's that? No, not Peter Sullivan. I was talking about Michael Pfeiffer.
Okay, okay.
The writers are the same on these two films, but that was a different director.
Okay. Well, the director of this film, Peter Sullivan, his most recent filmography includes The Christmas Edition, The Road Home for Christmas, Jingle Bell, B-E-L-L-E, My Christmas Inn, Sharing Christmas, Wrapped Up in Christmas, Broadcasting Christmas, The Flight Before Christmas, 12 Gifts. Like, it just keeps going on and on and on and on.
Okay, he did a series of five movies allegedly in 2021. I guess they're not coming out just yet. The Wrong Real Estate Agent, The Wrong Fiancé, The Wrong Mr. Right, The Wrong Prince Charming, The Wrong Valentine.
The Wrong Christmas Movie.
What is going on with this? Like, are these the same? Are these all the same movie? No, these are all different movies. Oh, they're David DeCoto. That's why.
What?
Oh, my God.
Go on.
Oh, you know David DeCoto, right?
Remind me.
He directs all kinds of stupid schlock. He did, like, Puppet Master 3. Just all kinds of, like, and also just shit that is, like, I don't mean this in a pejorative way. He just does some shit that is just, it is, like, incredibly gay, as in, like, very, very homoerotic.
Like, intentionally so?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, he does, like, schlock horror movies that are also, like, just a little more homoerotic than most movies are.
Wow.
Hey,
speaking of Christmas movies real quick, one last one I want to note for Peter Sullivan is the film that we actually almost watched tonight, Christmas Twister.
Oh, yeah.
That was in the mix for us, and we decided not to do it for some reason. And I feel like we should go back on that and just do that instead, because the movie we watched tonight is, like, it is the textbook definition of an absolute nothing burger. There's nothing here.
What is going on here? All of these star Vivica A. Fox as well.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Like, she got in on the Sharknado game too.
No, it's just it's baffling. Like, these five movies all come at the same time, same director, same. This is like Fish Called Wanda, like Fierce Creatures, like, except way worse and way more.
I'm sure that means something to somebody, but okay. So what we're saying is, like, we have kind of accidentally dipped our toe into the morass of Christmas films we said we would never touch, and we're regretting it immediately.
We've touched a hot. This is our touching a hot stove moment, really.
Yeah, I mean, what did we always used to say? Like, don't touch the poop. Well, this is the poop right here.
I have gained newfound respect to podcasts that. I think there's more. There's multiple, many podcasts that focus only on, like, Hallmark and Lifetime Christmas movies, right?
Those are almost cheating, though. It's kind of like, have you guys ever, there was a thread on Something Awful way back in the day talking about writing romance novels. Karen pointed it out to me. Just how literally formulaic they are.
Oh, no, I know. That's why I'm saying I have newfound respect for these podcasts that review these things, because...
Yeah. I mean, it's way worse than Save the Cat.
If for no other reason than just the absolute utter sameness of all of them, I don't think we could stand that. And some of these podcasts have been around for years, almost as long as us, I might add.
But almost. Fuckers.
Yeah, almost. Not quite. But I think, I'm not going to say we were smart to say no to that stuff, because some of the stuff we found for this podcast is potentially infinitely worse. Like, see our last episode, good lord. But
but at least it's more interesting in its worseness, I would say.
Yeah, I always gravitate towards, like, stupid schlock more than schmaltz, because the schlock at least usually, or I'll say usually, has some sort of very bad idea behind it,
right?
Like, it's basically, let's just compare the prequels to the sequels for Star Wars. Like, the prequels, you can tell, like, there was a really bad idea, but there's definitely a damn idea. And
it's at least obviously the voice of, like, one insane person.
Yeah. And the sequels are just like, no, we got a checklist of shit we got to put in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's like focus grouped into oblivion. to the point where no sane human could ever actually want this. Thanks a lot, JJ.
Yeah. And to what I was going at with the, for those who don't know about the, like, the romance novel things, like, they're absolutely formulaic in, among, like, not just, like, you know, you see the ones where it's, like, an oil sheik for, taken by the oil sheik and that shit, where it's just, like, there's always a line that's just, like, and then this guy became my boyfriend, I guess. And it's just a, there's a firefighter, there's a NASCAR one, Harlequin NASCAR series. And it's always just, like, there's always exactly one sex scene in all of them. There's a certain amount of vulgarity it can have. It absolutely, like, just, it's a checklist, yeah.
Well, isn't that kind of the world where Chuck Tingle became famous for just taking that formula and just, like, parodying it for all of its worth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, we're dragging this out because we obviously don't want to talk about this, but I think it's important because, like, what we're trying to say to you here is that we were lied to, essentially.
Yeah, I was promised Flyflecked Christmas Dog.
Yeah, because the whole purpose of doing this episode tonight was, hey, it's August, it's the dog days of summer, let's watch a dog Christmas movie. And instead, we got...
a pack of lies.
We were sold a bill of goods.
There's a dog in this movie?
There are three dogs.
There's three dogs in this movie. How much would you say... how much screen time do these dogs get in this movie? Let's say that.
Less than Drew Barrymore in Scream.
less than Fred Willard.
Give me minutes. 5 minutes of dogs, maybe?
I'm willing to bet that, three.
3 minutes
a
of
minute
dogs?
Per dog.
I bet we could go one back minute. And time it, but...
yeah, but like 1 minute per dog, that sounds about right to me.
And this isn't what... this is a 100-minute movie. This is an hour and 40 minutes, as I seem to recall.
It's a 90-minute movie with 15 minutes of commercials, courtesy of Pluto TV.
And it's the same four commercials, which is the part that really made me mad.
Wait, were the commercials included in the time?
Yes, they were.
I think they were, yeah.
That's how Pluto did it, yeah. That's how we were able to fast-forward through them with Speed Up. But yeah, I had the same four commercials every break. Auto Trader, Cash App, Duolingo, and Instacart. It just changed the order, and there were like three different Instacart ones it would cycle through.
I constantly kept getting like off-brand Viagra ads. What happened here?
I'm just going to take a drink right now.
It must be related to one's demographic file or search history, Joe.
Oh no, SEO, what have you done to me?
I kid.
Meanwhile, mine is like, you obviously never leave your house. Here you go.
And this, in the same sense, is like, this is a Christmas movie everybody can have if we market it the right way. Like, the Hallmark crowd and the dog Christmas movie crowd could have had the same film here, but no, that's really not what they made, is it?
You didn't put enough dogs in it.
Not enough dogs.
So that, by my calculations, let's see. 90 divided by 5. Somebody help me out here. Somebody who's good at math.
90 divided by 5.
Sorry, I'm eating Skittles.
18.
Okay. So this movie, it doesn't have a lot of dogs, is all I'm trying to say.
No.
Oh, wait, we said 3 minutes
per dog. I
think
my first wish to say I wish there was more fucking dog in this movie.
Yeah, no, but you said 3 minutes of dogs, so it's one third. No, one third. It's 3%. No.
Brad's ability to do math has been irrevocably destroyed thanks to this movie. I hope you're happy.
Give me a
Ion
second.
TV.
I'm going to crunch the numbers.
Crunched 5 into 90, Brad. Let's see.
If there are 3 minutes of dogs in a 90-minute movie, that's
3% dogs, basically. I'm going to go with 3%. It's 3% dogs.
Yes.
Let's say at most. Let's say roughly.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, anyways, there's a dog on the cover. The title of the DVD version is 12 Christmas Wishes for My Dog. There's 3 minutes of dog. So we have to get into the plot synopsis.
I want to read this synopsis off of IMDb, because this is a fucking bait and switch right here.
Please do.
Willing to try anything to transform her life, Laura follows her best friend's suggestion and sets up a session with a life coach who tells Laura to make 12 wishes for a positive change in her life. But before long, Laura realizes her wishes are sparking unforeseen circumstances, and she must quickly act quickly to get her life back and her dog before Christmas. This makes it sound like it's Butterfly Effect at Christmas with a dog. That's not what happened.
No. No. It's not.
Okay, so, okay, we are going to just forego. I was going to donate money to an animal shelter tonight, but this movie is already making me so angry I don't want to. So, guys, let's just start at the fucking beginning. What's wrong with this girl's dog?
What's
it's making the awesome face.
That's not, no, that's what's right with the dog.
What's wrong with the dog?
No, in terms of the movie, why is the dog a problem?
Okay, so basically the movie opens that she has a dog and she loves it a lot. And her neighbor, I guess they're both renting townhomes, it's implied.
Yeah.
Narcs her out that she has a dog when her lease doesn't allow her to have a dog. She volunteers at a dog rescue and has to dump the dog in like the first 5 minutes of the movie. We don't see this dog until the end of the movie, and it is hardly ever shown during the film. Other remember the dog. It exists. It's still alive. All right, on with the movie.
Yeah, whenever they go to have a scene at the dog show, they're like, look, the dog's still here. Remember, we didn't kill it.
Yeah.
But as far as like dialogue about her missing her dog or needing to get her dog back, never occurs to her. Here's the thing. This movie, all right, so there's the whole thing about, actually that was a pretty good plot synopsis other than the stupid butterfly effect and dog thing. It's a dumb movie.
The entire point of the movie.
She dumps her dog and then everything goes wrong in her life. She goes to a life coach who turns out to be an angel. Yeah, that's the thing. And gives her, basically grants her 12 wishes. She has 12 wishes. Not a single one of those wishes is, yo, can I have my dog back? Which I thought was going to be like wish number two.
Like ding, 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 ding. That's the ball game, everybody.
Right?
Yeah.
Everybody else that watched this movie thought she was going to ask for her dog back, right? Like from the drop.
Or at least for her superintendent to like drop dead or something.
Yeah, you know, I thought this was going to be like she's going to wish she was never born thing. And it's going to do It's a Wonderful Life. And then she realizes that like, oh, her dog is sad without her. And that's how she realizes she needs to live, you know?
Nope, the dog does not factor into it whatsoever. She gets revenge on the guy who narked her out, but doesn't occur to her to get her dog back. It's this movie. I can't with this movie. It's so bad.
Yeah, she doesn't even get revenge, though. It's like she gets monkey's pawed and she's just like, I'm actually fine with this.
I mean, she gets him evicted.
But that's not her intent, though. The wish was she wished the banging would stop. Which, if you weren't an asshole, you could grant that wish being like, oh, yeah, he fixed the problem. We're all good now.
Yeah, but
she wishes the banging would stop and therefore he never gets laid again.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
So she killed his wife. Okay.
Yeah. I wish his wife would drop dead. No. So 12 wishes, man. That's 8 more wish. No, 9 more wishes. See, my faculties for doing math are diminishing.
I mean, I was trying to do divisions and conversion to percent, but you're doing subtraction there, bud. Anyhow.
Subtracting brain cells by the second.
Yes.
Okay, so she works for a fashion company
with an abusive boss that an abusive Fred Willard runs.
Yeah, he's basically like a J. Jonah Jameson, but it's in like you're fired type boss.
Can I make a point here real quick?
Yeah,
go ahead.
It took me quite a Sean. I know it's my podcast. I'm trying to butt in. Okay. It took me quite a long time to realize that she was working for a fashion company and not a toy company.
Really?
Yes. And I'll tell you why. I'm just going to jump straight to the end of the fucking movie.
Okay.
Because, so the whole premise of this company is that Fred Willard is trying to get the contract for a store in Beverly Hills called Dahlberg's that he wants his company's line to be on the shelves at Dahlberg's.
You thought it was Dahlberg.
Can I just say, do you guys know anything about Los Angeles geography?
I know this mall's in Carson, I think, or Carlsbad, one of the two.
Yeah, but the fact that they're in the meeting before they're talking about this being on Rodeo Drive. Are you guys familiar with Rodeo Drive?
Vaguely.
Only from media talking about it, like Beverly Hills 90210 and shit like that.
Well, it's like a super duper bougie shopping street, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then they, for the scene for the meeting, they show up and it's like a mall with an Auntie Anne's Pretzels and a Macy's.
Yeah, it's a literal actual mall. It's the South Bay Pavilion.
Yeah.
And it was like Carson.
I just thought that was really funny that if anybody knows anything about Rodeo Drive, this is pretty much the complete polar opposite. They may as well have filmed it in a Walmart, essentially.
I mean, they kind of did. Okay, but let me get back to my point. So it is called Dahlberg's, yes? I'm not making that part up.
Yes.
Dilbert's.
Okay. Dilbert's. Okay. My point is, okay.
I just completely threw you off your balance with that one.
You murdered my train of thought. It's dead in a ravine now.
Why is Shrek this? Italiano. All right, go on.
Okay. So the whole idea is that they're trying to get this contract for Dahlberg's and that they want to get their product line on the shelves at the store in Beverly Hills. Okay. And then Fred Willard's trying to get his team to come up with some great pitch, some great idea to land this account. And at the very end of the film, Laura's friend Faith comes up with this idea for a fashion show. And my question was, so either they work for a toy company who's trying to land a contract with a store called Dahlberg's, or it's a fashion line trying to land this contract with a store called Dahlberg's. If it's a toy company, why are they putting on a last-minute fashion show? If it's a clothing line, how the fuck did nobody think of a fashion show until the last fucking minute?
Yeah, that's a very good point, but I still don't get how you thought it was a toy company.
Because I'm an idiot, and also it was literally called Dahlberg's.
You're going to have to explain the Dahlberg's thing to me.
Dahlberg.
There are dolls.
It's a pun.
Oh, like D-O-L-L-B-U-R-G. Got it.
Yes, because I did not see it written in the film, and I was not paying that close enough attention.
You and me both, friend.
So I just assumed this was a toy company because also it's a fucking Christmas movie.
Man, this movie is complicated.
It's really not, though.
It's super wicked not.
This is maybe the least point... complicated plot-wise that we have done that's not a children's movie.
Okay. So we're just going to jump through it. She gets her 12 wishes to do whatever she wants with from this magical Christmas weirdo.
Let's explain why her life is shit to begin with. Yeah, she has to put her dog at the rescue because her neighbor complained to the landlord, and the landlord is just being an asshole about dogs. She got fired because her boss screwed up and blamed it on her. Her boyfriend...
they absolutely wanted to cast as Rob Lowe as.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely. All of these actors, by the way, like, are in their 40s, and it's really weird because they're playing, like, in their 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They got, like, the guy whose cousin kind of looks like Rob Lowe to play this character.
Which, I'm not complaining that the actors are too old. It's just that, like, if you're gonna get these people that are very clearly in their 40s, make it a story about people in their 40s.
Yeah,
don't
otherwise
it like,
it's,
you know, oh, she doesn't have her life together type shit.
She doesn't have her life together, and also she's 42 and single. Wowzers. Yeah.
She's dating a guy named Morgan who is like a hedge fund manager who realizes it's not what he wants to do with his life and decides to quit his job and try to become a novelist. The fact that he's also fucking a publisher
quote-unquote monkey's paw later.
Yeah, that's a complication, as it were. But also, this Morgan guy, feels like he should be the star of his own crappy Hallmark Christmas movie, where he decides to quit his big city job and move back to a small town to learn lessons about life. Like, that's literally his arc in this movie, and it's just not important. I kind of appreciate that.
Yeah, like, instead of the publisher, like, he meets some woman who's, like, she works at, like, the local coffee shop or something.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so the 12 wishes get dispatched with very quickly, like, much more quickly than I would have guessed for a movie like this.
We were only halfway into the movie when all of the wishes are used up.
Yes.
And the 12 wishes, I wrote them all down.
Thank you.
I want the banging to stop.
Number one, I wish Morgan would send me flowers. She's just testing to see if this wish would work. And she types this into, like, literally a BlackBerry. And there's an earthquake because it's Los Angeles. And then there's a knock at the door, and there's just magically flowers in front of her doorstep. Great. Number two, she wishes for her friend's hair to look good at a party. And, you know, it works, whatever. Number three, she wishes for the banging to stop. Because her handyman neighbor, Bert Gummer, refuses to stop hammering. And this happens basically by him magically getting evicted for doing all the hammering.
As one does.
It's because he managed to hit a pipe and sprung a gas leak.
Because he was doing all the hammering.
Yes.
As one does.
Number four, I wish I had better shoes, and magically a box of red Christmas shoes shows up at our door. Wait, no. Not quite. Not quite. This movie isn't that dark.
No, we said Rob Lowe's not in it.
I know. Ugh. And then at this point in the film, she says, this is going to be the best Christmas ever. And then a montage starts where she wastes all the rest of her wishes.
Very, very uncreatively, I might add.
I wish I had 20/20 vision. I wish I could win the lottery. I wish I could win a car. She wins a car raffle.
How many of these wishes could just be solved by wishing for a ton of money? All of them, like most of them, right?
Yeah, all of them.
All of them.
These five are all like, I wish I could have $1 billion so that I could buy this thing. Like, I wish I could win a car. I wish for a new wardrobe, and I wish for new jewelry. And it just like, boom, done, happens.
And then, like, you can get LASIK.
Yeah.
You can.
You could spend the lotto money on a car.
You could also move to a. You could also own your own place so that you can get your dog back, but that never occurs to you because you're not worried about your dog because that's the way this movie is working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Number 10, she wishes for her friend Faith to have a winning idea for this pitch meeting, which arguably she does, but her boss steals it and Faith gets fired. And that's where the monkey's paw thing starts to happen. Because, oh no, the choices, the wishes are starting to have dangerous consequences. And Fred Willard, like, is a champ through this movie because he straight up does not care about anything that's happening. I kind of admire his just absolute nonchalance walking through this film. But he knows it's a bunch of BS. He doesn't care. He's having fun.
Get paid.
Yeah, like, he got the script. He's like, what am I playing? Mean boss? Okay, got it. No, I don't need to rehearse. I'll show up when we start filming.
Exactly.
What a champion. What a champ.
Fred Willard never isn't playing Fred Willard, and I love it.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, Faith pitches, fashion show. It gets shut down. She gets fired. Blah, 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 blah. Number 11. Wish Sandra. What?
No. What happens is that Faith doesn't get fired. What happens is that Faith tells Sandra the idea, and Sandra's just like, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. And then Fred Willard is like, I need ideas. No. You give me an idea. And she's just like, fashion show. And Fred Willard loves it. And so Sandra has stolen Faith's idea and was like, sorry, he was in the moment. What am I going to do? Tell him it was your idea now?
Yeah, huh? Why not? But yeah, whatever. But yeah, at this point,
the next wish.
At this point, though, why at this late hour did nobody think to do a fashion show?
Yeah, and it's also, it's like, okay, if you're going to do a fashion show on Christmas Eve, the forward-thinking thing would do would be like a spring or summer fashion show. Really get it on that early. If you're doing your Christmas line on Christmas
on
Eve,
Christmas Eve, you're too late by like
this
8
is,
months.
This is like that French toy store or French department store. Like, oh, Christmas Eve is the biggest day of a year. Why? Shouldn't like be like the weekend after Thanksgiving should be your biggest day because everyone wants to get their shopping done early and then not have to worry about it anymore?
That's an excellent point. We also have the scene earlier where the lady from the department store is, you know, maybe it's like a week or two before Christmas. She's like, I'm too busy. I can't meet with you anymore. But apparently coming to the corporate headquarters for a fashion show on Christmas Eve is not out. The schedule's wide open for that.
Well, when her boss says, I'm going to go to the fashion show, like, she's going to the fashion show then.
Yeah, I guess.
That's pretty much. 11. Wish number 11. Laura wishes that her boss Sandra would pay for stealing Faith's idea. So Sandra gets fired.
Yeah, because Fred Willard's just like, oh, by the way, I know you threw Faith under the bus and also threw Laura under the bus, so you're fired, Sandra.
And Laura gets reinstated at her job. But she only has one wish left, and there's a whole hour of movie left.
So she wishes for more wishes.
Kind of. No, she wishes for her boyfriend's book to get published. That's her last wish. And it does. And then the magic Christmas fairy shows up and says, the C&E effect, which is the clause and effect, thanks a lot, still has to happen. So then the monkey's paw curls and all the bad shit starts happening.
Yeah, this movie came out in 2011 and there was a joke about, oh, who even reads those EOLAs anyway?
Yeah. I mean, really. Someone, please take it away from me.
So yeah, what happens is it turns out that her boyfriend Morgan has been banging the publisher agent, which is why he managed to get published. Faith doesn't like the fact that Laura, who has taken over Sandra's job, is just being like a absolutely no fun boss, and like she quits after an argument. And then her neighbor's getting evicted, and she realizes, oh, that was kind of a shitty move on my part. Wow.
Oops.
Oh, and guys, we haven't even done the love interest B plot.
Well, who gives a shit about Andy?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Andy is the hot guy who randomly shows up under mysterious, dubious circumstances at the dog kennel. And he claims that he transferred from one volunteer kennel to another, which is apparently a thing that volunteers can do.
I mean, it's we're making it sound way more fun than it is. He's in town because he's looking for a guy to do some legal, like, probate stuff with a will. And because he's in town, he's like, well, I volunteer at the dog shelter. I guess I'm volunteering at this one now since I'm in town.
Right, but he literally says he transferred, like there was paperwork involved.
Oh, it's just because it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know that. You and I know that, but the movie doesn't know that. But Andy starts hitting on Laura, and at first she rebuffs him because, like, oh, I kind of sort of have a boyfriend, I guess.
Kind of, sort of.
And as soon as he's out of the picture, she goes after Andy, like, hard. And, yeah, that turns out fine, apparently.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Andy is actually Henry, her neighbor's son. And what happens, though, is that she runs into Noelle again, and she's like, hey, Noelle, all of these wishes went bad. You're a shitty angel. And Noelle's just like, yeah, well, why don't you just fix it yourself, asshole?
Yeah, basically.
It's a little, the tone's a little different from how I put it, but that's basically what it is. And she kind of talks about, I'm really sad Karen's not on the podcast of the perp, but she talks about a very bizarre recurring dream Laura had when she was little, which is that she was at a dinner table with a fantastic feast in front of it, but nobody can reach the table because all of their hands are giant forks. So they can't, like, feed themselves.
Yes.
And she said she made everyone happy because she helped them by realizing, why don't you just feed the person across the table from you? You can reach their mouth.
What does this have to do with Karen?
Karen is very good about having dreams that make no sense whatsoever and then telling you about them.
Oh, gotcha.
She remembers nearly all of her dreams. I remember none of my dreams ever. I assume I dream. That's that, like, people do that, right? People dream.
It's a skill you actually have to practice. So that explains why she'd be very good at it. Actually, for a while, this was probably 10 years ago, I started dream journaling. And if you do that and start vague and then kind of work your way, you'll be surprised how much you can remember. They kind of become, I don't know if they become more vivid or you remember them more clearly as a result, but it's like something with memory. It's a real effect. I can attest to it because I don't dream journal anymore. And I, like, remember absolutely zero of my dreams now.
Literally the last dream I remember having, it was years ago. And I only remember it because I broke the dream.
Oh, you turn, okay. You went lucid.
Yeah. I like logic my way out of the dream. I was like, I was dreaming that I was driving on with a friend and we picked up another friend who was riding their bike around. Then I was like, after 5 minutes, I was like, wait, no, this car's not big enough for the bike. Where is it? And they were just like, no, there's no bike. What are you talking about? Like, they were trying to gaslight me about the bike, and I realized, oh, it's a dream. And I immediately woke up. And that's the only reason I remember, because I immediately woke up afterwards.
Ah, you got cheated.
Damn once gaslighting you, dream bastard.
Once you realize you're in it, you're free. You've hacked the Matrix.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Jonathan is not Neo. This is not the Matrix.
Then I just barfed on the floor in front of Joey Pants.
Anyhow.
Anywho, these cornflakes taste like chicken. Yeah, the bombshell gets dropped that Andy is Harry's estranged son. Andy's trying to track him down, and let's see here.
So what happens is she decides that she can start making things right. She goes to her neighbor and says, like, hey, you can, like, have my spare bedroom for a little bit, just so you're not living on the damn street. She runs into Sandra at the, who's now working at, like, one of the local cafes. And Sandra's, we don't have a dead kid alert, thankfully. Her kid is just, basically her kid does not have, she doesn't have money for insulin for her kid now. So that's why she's upset. And she's like, all right, well, we can put on this fashion show. I'll get Sandra to come show up, just like, surprise, she's working at the fashion show now. And then she makes up with Faith, and the fashion show goes over very well. It impresses Mr. Dahlberg, who's there, and he doesn't have any lines. He's credited in the movie. It's the old guy sitting next to what's her name from the company.
Yeah, like there's a scene where I think he stands up and cheers, and that's all he does in the movie.
Yeah, he thumbs up Fred Willard when Fred Willard thumbs up him. Yeah, that's all he does.
Yeah. But also, so in this scene, Andy and Harry are seated next to each other so they can have a heart-to-heart, where Andy tells him that he is trying to execute a will, and he's like, oh, well, who's it for? It's Andy's mom.
It's like, it's for you.
Pour one out for your boy.
Pour one out. We got a dead mom alert. You didn't think we'd get to it, but we got to it. There's a dead mom alert in this movie. I'm so sorry to have to tell you this.
It never fails.
Yep. It's the oldest trick in the book. That's why they keep using it. And then, let's see. The party is over. Everything is hunky-dory.
She gets her dog back at the very end. After what's his face just talks to the landlord.
I get the idea that he threatened the landlord.
That's all they had to do. Say what?
I get the idea he threatened the landlord.
Okay.
My dad's going to hit you in the head with his hammer.
Yeah, he just showed up and he said, you evicted my dad the week before Christmas. That doesn't make me happy.
Mm-mm. Not a bit. Everybody has a fun Christmas Day dinner. And then Lara's mom calls because she sees on Facebook that Lara's got a new boyfriend. Hooray, that's the end of the movie.
And yeah, and for whatever reason, Laura's mom is Mo Gaffney from Absolutely Fabulous.
Yeah, because why not?
Why not?
Let's throw someone else into this movie.
And scene.
Thank God.
That was a movie.
Okay, I'm going to jump straight into the crankometer because I want to end this chapter of my life. Welcome to the crankometer, folks. This is our patented XY axis for rating Christmas movies. The X axis is the Christmosity scale, how well it uses Christmas and the trappings therein. And the Y axis is the quality quotient, how good of a film this actually is. I've written my prediction down already for what I think our score might be, but gentle friends, I want to hear from you. The X axis scores, please.
-1? Okay. There's not really any Christmas lesson that's learned. There's not really, but it's Christmas. I don't know.
So,
I mean, there's a lot of decoration, I guess.
There are mentions of God, but there's no mention of the other J-Man. And it's very clear that, like, the elves all accept, oh, yeah, Noelle's an angel. She's just a Christmas angel. Yeah.
Yeah.
One?
I feel like a one is even generous.
And
maybe a zero, maybe like the big old goose egg.
The lesson you can extrapolate from it, if you are really trying to, was that, like, sometimes the right thing to do is help others.
Yeah.
And that's not even really a Christmas lesson. That's just a not being an ass lesson.
That should be a lesson for any time.
That's a fortune cookie you get any day of the year.
That's an anytime lesson. That's a Flag Day lesson.
Yeah. Happy Flag Day, guys.
Happy Flag Day. No. I don't know.
I mean, the sheer fact that it takes place at Christmas, you know, we've done more with less, I guess, on this show. So I can't really say much about that. But
the only thing is that if it didn't take place on Christmas, you have to think up some contrivance for the number of wishes.
Right.
And 12 days of Christmas.
12. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it takes place on Christmas, because there's 12 wishes, you know.
We had a bunch of really bad knockoff Legally Distinct Christmas music right?
What song is that first, like, dun, 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 dun thing from? It's at the beginning of Christmas at Ground Zero. It's at the beginning of this, like, fake song at the beginning. Which sounds like it's like that South Park Christmas happens once a year song.
I think it's just a general kind of like bell ringing tone that most songs use.
Yeah, it's just like a motif that a lot of Christmas
compositions use. Christmas, Please Come Home. Is that what they're Christmas Baby? You know what song I'm talking about?
Yeah, the Eagles song. Yeah,
Eagles.
I think that's an Eagles song, isn't it?
No. It's like what's Jingle All the
Please Come Home for Christmas.
No, Darlene Love, song.
Okay, yeah, I got
like,
you.
It's the start of that song, right?
It's channeling that, but I don't think it's the start of it.
No, it's not that song. No, I'm thinking of a different song.
Oh, you're thinking of the Darlene Love song from Home Alone 2, aren't you?
Yeah.
The other probably. Darlene Love song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I think Brad got it right. It's just kind of a general Christmas motif that, like, bells play at Christmas time. I don't think it's any it's particular like a, song.
That particular pattern, though, it's very weird.
The ding, dun, dun, dun.
Like,
ding,
go to any rich neighborhood in America and ring a doorbell. You'll probably hear it.
Oh, that's because it's the Big Ben tones.
There you go.
Big Ben is different. Big Ben is like the...
Oh my God, are we doing
this? No, but like the rich people...
Well, it doesn't help that I'm tone deaf, so...
No, but like the rich people doorbell is Big Ben, though.
Oh, yes.
Dun, 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 yeah. Dun, 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 that.
Yes.
Yeah, but what you're literally describing is just half of that.
Kind of. Slightly different, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Why are we talking about that?
We're talking about the fact that it had a knockoff soundtrack. Okay. And maybe that's Christmas.
Every song was legally distinct from a song you've heard of.
I do recall a very crappy punk rock Silent Night, and I hated it with every fiber of my being.
So maybe a negative one. Maybe that pulls it down to a negative one. No, I'm kidding.
Honestly, Brad, that's a pretty good argument to me. I'll take it. I hate it. I hate it so much, I might make y'all listen to it at the end of this episode.
Oh, please do. And by do, I mean put it in the episode so I don't have to listen to it. But
not
don't
you
make
personally.
Me listen to it.
Of course.
To your
course.
Listeners.
If our listeners listen to my other podcast, they know I love ending podcasts with shitty music. It's kind of my thing. So I'm going to stamp it. Negative one.
To be clear, all right. Simon Panrucker is good music, though. He's a good guy.
He's a cool dude. I enjoy his work. So the y-axis. How good is this film? Please don't tell me it's very good, because I know that's a lie.
No. Yeah, it's not good. But it's right. Not. It's not atrocious. It's competent.
It commits the sin of being boring.
Exactly.
It very much does, but also it is noticeably better than the last thing we watched.
Yes.
Oh, it like makes sense as a movie.
Yes.
But at least that had the, like, when something is noticeably bad, it makes it more entertaining, like Johnny Five said. And like we've said so many times on this podcast, this is the bad kind of boring.
Oh, very
this
much
is the
so.
Bad, this is the boring kind of bad, I should say.
It's yeah, like, this is bad for all the reasons why we don't watch these things.
Yes.
Because there is... We are basically trying to squeeze blood from a stone tonight, and folks, I don't think we're pulling it off. So
we squeezed alcohol from Skittles.
This is true. We did, but I'm gonna venture a guess and say -4. Yeah. It was pretty bad, but it did not break any sense of like well-being within myself, like A Karate Christmas Miracle did.
Yeah.
It didn't make me absolutely hate myself.
Didn't make me hate myself or hate the people that were involved with it. Like, it was very clearly everybody's just here to get a movie made.
Yeah.
Do their thing and move on.
But at the same time,
we are here to watch this movie, do our thing, and move on. Yeah, I mean, this is very transactional.
Yeah, this is just a thing where the script mill that is Richard and Michael were just like, what's the title? 12 somethings of Christmas. 12 wishes of Christmas. Yeah, there we go.
You know what? I want from there. 1,000,000% believe that they wrote the title first and the movie after the fact.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you're right.
Absolutely, you're right. They did.
And 12 Christmas Wishes for My Dog was just an afterthought DVD title because they're just like, hey, we can make people think this is a dog movie.
Sorry, Brad.
If they didn't pull the dog thing, I would say -3, but because of the dog thing, I'm going to go to -4.
Yeah, the dog thing is absolutely a ploy to get people to buy the DVD by accident.
Yeah, but if you would like to make a Christmas movie that's basically the butterfly effect about like accidentally making a dog not exist and you have to like go through time travel to save your dog, I would watch that.
Especially if it ends with the dog like killing itself in vitro, like the way like the butterfly effect ends. Like that's a bold choice. Well, no, I don't have to. The dog's gonna do it himself.
No, the dog goes back in time and starts chasing its own tail.
There it is. Yeah, so, spoiler alert for the butterfly effect, everybody.
Isn't that a spoiler for the crappy alternate ending?
I think it is, yeah.
How many grandmas scooped this up at the checkout line at the Winn-Dixie for their kids or their grandkids and put this on at Christmas, and everybody was sorely disappointed?
22.
You're probably about right. That's probably about right.
Like, this is the kind of movie you would find at like a rental cabin, but this is the only movie.
That's like, all that's left.
This is all that's left. Like, all the good shit got taken home or just plain stolen. This is what's left because nobody wants to watch it. And also, we have streaming now, so who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Does
Redbox still exist? I don't know.
Redbox,
sorry.
Yeah. They don't rent games anymore, so who cares? And by rent games, I mean sell games.
Yeah.
I mean, I still got Kingdom Hearts 1 through 3 for like $20 total, so.
Hey,
John, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I gotta get this out of my system. It is a Hallmark movie, so I know that's the problem. It's from last year, 2020's Countdown to Christmas. It's called Good Morning Christmas, and it is a movie. The little blurb is: two squabbling TV hosts are sent to a festive small town for Christmas. While pretending to get along for the sake of appearances, they discover there's more to each other than they thought. And then they fuck.
Oh, no.
Anyway, the important thing is, Allison Sweeney plays a character named Melissa Mary. Do you want to guess what Mark Blucas's character... This guy's Mark Blucas. B. Lucas. Blucas.
Blucas?
Yeah, do you want to guess what character Mark Bluto plays? So there's Melissa Mary and...
Joe Christmas.
Come on, you can do this. Melissa Mary and...
Joseph... Joestar?
You got the idea right with the repeating initials.
But is it Mary and Joseph?
Joe, too? Is it Joe Jingle?
No, it's Merry. I'll say that.
Oh,
Chris Christmas.
No, it's even worse. It's Brian Bright. Their show is called Bright and Mary.
Mary and Bright. Are you kidding?
Yeah, their show is called Today with Bright and Mary Live. Their show is Crudler.
Did they do that as a joke, or did they just seriously... whatever.
I think it's supposed to be a joke, but, like, it's not a good one.
No, it's not.
Unless the joke is that Bright's a piece of shit and demands that his name be put first.
That's probably the joke, honestly. You know?
So he just ruined his own title? I don't know. But hey, that gives me an idea. If any of our listeners out there know of, like, movies like this that definitely will break our brains, send them to us because I kind of want to watch them. They have to be more interesting than this. I'm begging you.
Was it on The Critic where there was a movie where there was two characters named Smith and Wesson?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god. I'm serious though. Like if I don't want like winking parodies of these kinds of movies. Like actual like Christmas movie mill like features that are just awful and awkward because they crank them out so fast. There's got to be one out there that is just baffling and weird. And please, God, don't say it's Karate Christmas Miracle.
And
kind of want to watch a Christmas movie Christmas because I want to know what the people that make this trash think is what's fun to parody about this trash.
You know, that's not a bad idea. I'm willing to entertain this notion. And all I can say is, you know, we either do that or we try to take a mulligan on this whole Dog Days of Christmas thing. But if we did, I don't know what we'd watch.
I mean, there's like 90 movies where Mario Lopez voices a Christmas dog, and then another 90 where Kevin Sorbo voices a Christmas dog, and then Dean Cain is in all 180 of those movies.
And never the twain shall meet. Sure.
Did we reach a definitive thing on the crankometer? -1, -4?
I think we landed on -1, -4, which, hey, per my prediction, I predicted we'd hit a 1, -4. So I wasn't too far off.
Pretty good.
But yeah, we will reconvene shortly. Hopefully we'll get another episode out this month. If not, you know, too bad, so sad. But hang tight, because we'll be back. But I would love to come back around to this. If there is some kind of really strange Christmas movie in this kind of oeuvre, I'd like to see it, because I want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, like this didn't live up to what we were hoping for in terms of insanity. I want some insanity.
Yes, I wanted 12 Wishes about a dog, you know?
Or that's from a dog.
A dog with 12 Christmas wishes, like, that is a slam dunk, is it not?
Yeah.
And I mean, we might as well just watch Bone Alone again. That's basically what we're asking for.
You know, I haven't seen it.
We could do an audio commentary of Bone Alone where Brad just watches it sight unseen for the first time.
Oh no! I take it back. I've seen it. I don't know. don't make me do this.
The best laid plans of mice and men. Just like this episode go strangely awry because of shit like bad marketing. But that's gonna do it for Christmas Creeps, everybody. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with hopefully a better episode and a better feature film than this. But until then, you can email us anything you want at xmascreeps@gmail.com. Go to Christmas Creeps on Twitter, and follow us and talk to us on there. That's kind of our primary mode of communication. Go to YouTube, because we put all our episodes up on YouTube, and follow that channel and leave comments and stuff. And go to your podcatcher of choice. Tell a friend, leave a review, leave us a star rating. That lets the people know that this is a show that's actually still being produced and worth listening to. Anything I'm forgetting?
Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, for real. Thank you for listening to our insanity about insanity, everybody.
Our incoherent ramblings about not seeing more of a dog.
Yeah. And our inane commentary on an inane movie.
All of my 12 wishes are, I wish the dog was there.
Me too, bud. Me too.
But was the dog there?
The dog was inside of us all the time. And when we look back on the beach, there were 4 paw prints in the sand.
And that makes sense, because it was a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
There were 4 sets of paw prints, and that's when I was riding the dog like a horse.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's it for Christmas Creeps, folks. Stay frosty out there. I'm Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
I'm Johnny Five, the human robot. Play Final Fantasy 14, Primal Data Center, play Mahjong with me. For the love of God, I need the Mahjong Master title.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.